thumbs up. Okay. I have, boy, did I have a hard time with this state order mandate. And I literally did not know how most all week. Literally, it took me all day, clear up till yesterday too, to get myself here. Because for me, this mandate is so oppressive, and wearing a mask and the whole thing is just so, so hard. I'm probably the most prideful person here. Like, I don't know of any of you that are worse than me, so I'm pretty high level. So this mask thing, it hit hard, and I knew it was, I was afraid it was coming, didn't know. It killed me to have Lacey send out this text for me to write that email, and for it to include children 10 years and up to wear a mask. I hate it. I mean, I struggle with it. So by Monday, I began to wear a mask to the stores. I had not been doing that. And unless it was absolutely required, I think we went to the bank one day and they required it. And we spent more time talking about the difficulty of doing business through a mask. The loan officer was with us, Finally, his face shield broke as he was already behind a plastic barrier. He pitched it on the desk behind. And he's like, listen, if you guys don't want to wear your mask, you don't have to wear your mask. Like, and we're like, off, his was off, ours was off. And the most difficult thing about all of this is, as I struggled this week, and I began, it actually opened up a door to talk to other people, whether they were in the store with a mask on, taking care of customers. Today I said, I'm having a hard time with this, like big time. It's like, I'm hot, I'm sweating just because this is on my face. They're like, me too. Like, well, let's talk, And the one woman actually says to me, she goes, listen, we require you to wear a mask, but if you don't want to wear a mask, we can't make you wear one. Like, you can take it off. I said, yeah, but you still have to wear a mask. It's like, aw, you're standing with me. Like, thank you, it was neat. So I have found ways to connect with people through this thing in just being honest. I'm having a hard time, and I know I have to. So that was all week, and then we get the news Wednesday night before practice. I just sit there for a while, like, how do I deal with this? And Tuesday, I had to go to the east side of PA to pick up something I'd bought on eBay. And it was kind of a weird situation that I got myself into. And but I'm like, nope, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna believe the Lord will redeem this situation. I just watch, and I'm like, whoever this person is that I encounter to get this stuff from, I'm going to pray over them, like I'm going to redeem. And Phyllis began to speak this to me because I had to confess. I said, I made a mistake. I bought this here, but I bought there. I didn't think that was still on, but now I had to buy. I'm obligated. I could stiff them for it, but integrity-wise, I need to pay this. I need to buy this, these rims. And so I'm like, Phyllis starts saying, let's pray for the Lord to redeem this mistake. This is where my pride comes in. I'm so prideful that I don't even pray for those. I struggle to pray for the Lord to redeem my mistakes because I'm so prideful that I don't think I should make mistakes, especially when I'm 65 years old and I've made a lot of mistakes all my life. Shouldn't have made this one too, blah, 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 call myself names. And so it was really hard. It was hard to admit it to her. I just wanted to hide it, like fudge it, like whatever, and couldn't. She's like, let's pray for the Lord to redeem it. And so as I watched, I'm like, when I go there, I'm going to make sure that I take opportunity to, like, I felt, I'm going to get the opportunity to pray and to bless this person. And sure enough, this woman begins to open up. She's in PA, so they've been under more stuff than we have all along. And Same thing. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. We hear this, we hear that. I'm like, I know. It's difficult. It's challenging. And we just began to, and so I'm like, can I bless you? Can I pray for you? Is there something, just any, I just want to bless you. Can you pray? She starts listing off this name, and I did not feel good to cancel the order, cancel out of this. And I'm like, there's got to be a reason because I can't do it. And here I find out that her son, who actually, he wasn't there, he's at work, but who actually sold me this, has kidney cancer. Like, I'm like, he's not in a good place, but he's working, and, you know, I'm like, wow. So I get to pray for her. I get to bless her. I've been connecting with people through this and just doing the best I can. Kill me to put this out. But it is, I studied it Friday morning. Lacey had given me her take on it. I looked at it. I looked through it. I'm looking for a way out of it. I'm running all the scenarios in my mind. I won't even tell you where all I went to, you know, in my mind to avoid this and get out of this. But here we are. So the virus is out of the bottle. You can't put it back in the bottle. And I heard the funniest, somebody related to me, the funniest meme. You can just insert the word that was on this. But trying to deal with the virus at this point is like going to a baby shower with pregnancy protection. Like, the baby's already here. It's too late for it's already here. And this thing, it's here. And the experts have said, like, I do believe we should protect our vulnerable, but for the average person, I don't care what precautions you take, it's you, one slip, and this virus, it's so minuscule. I have an N95 mask down in my garage, and it will take out particles up to four microns. But this virus is not 3 microns, not 2 microns, not 1 micron. It's like 0.4. It's that small, and so it's very, very small. And this heat in the sun should be like taking it out. I don't know what's going on. The facts change. It's so difficult because nothing stays the same. All kinds of contradictions, all kinds of testimonies. The last I heard, and I trust, just by watching, I trust people, trust who they are. What you can tell, a genuine story, tells of his wife going to a doctor. The doctor was struggling with his results. And of course, the testing is really high now. So of course, we're showing more people that have it. And he says, my wife and the doctor got to talking, and they submitted 10 swabs that had never out of the package, that had never touched anything. They all 10 came back positive. So it's, this thing's weird. And at the same time, I know that people are really sick from it if you're vulnerable. So what I want to say to you is, even coming to church, it's important, because I had to tell 2 different families not to come to church today because of where they had been. And I couldn't take the chance of someone finding out they had, not that I feel they had it, but just that's this is difficult for me, very. And so I want to say to you, if you are fearful of getting, I'm actually not. Matter of fact, I wish I could just get it, be over with it. I count up to 5 different households that had the symptoms of coronavirus before it came out here in this church. And no one knew what it was or what they were going, like, I think 5 households. So we've probably already been subjected to it. You're not going to get this thing back in the bottle. The experts have said that. Are there things you can do to be careful? Yes, do those. But I just struggle with the whole thing, and I've said that. So that brought me to, this was hard. This has been the most challenging thing that I've had to do to come to church. And even though I don't have to wear one, I almost did just because, but you wouldn't be able to understand what I'm saying when I'm speaking. But I hate this. Like, I really struggle with this whole concept. For me, it's like, there was a story in the Chronicles of Narnia written by C.S. Lewis. And in the stories, there was a little mouse. Do y'all remember the little mouse? His name was Reepicheep. Arepachip was a mouse with a sword. And Arepachip was fearless, absolutely fearless. He wasn't afraid of anything. Sometime, I forget in which book it was, Arepachip in battle got his tail cut off. And after that happened, he wasn't physically harmed, except he lost his tail, his little mousy tail. Not really something I'd be proud of, but it was his whole thing. And he, like, cone of shame, like his shame face came on. And until Aslan, you know, restores his tail, because it was his pride, it was his thing. That's how I feel about these masks. That's how much it affects me to have to wear that for this situation that I don't believe in the first place. So I'm really conflicted. So I thought, well, I can't preach to the church today, but I can preach to myself. So that's what I'm gonna do. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I've been sharing, my goal is to get to the place where I have favor with God. How do I have favor with him? What can I do to attract his attention? That's all that matters. Because once I have favor with him, then I can pray for things. Then I can be a true influencer. I can be someone that can make a difference where it matters, where it really counts. And so I shared with you this scripture. I'll just reread it again so I get it right. Out of the Passion Translation, Isaiah 66. But there is one, the Lord is saying in this chapter, what can you give me? What can you do for me? I made everything. What house do you think you can build me that's impressive? I made the majestic mountains. I made Yosemite Park. Have you ever been there? Like, amazing. Like, to really see these places that we see these pictures of. Yeah, Melissa's been out in California. There's some beautiful place. They have some issues with whatever, but wow, the state is so beautiful. And God's like, what do you think you can do for me to actually impress me? I mean, really? And then he says, but here's something that attracts my attention out of all of creation. Do you get this? Like, how big this is? He says, there is one my eyes are drawn to, the humble one, the tender one, the trembling one, who lives in awe of all I say, who trembles at my word, the King James, New King James says, who looks at my word and realizes it's so real that I tremble at it. I don't cast it off. I'm not careless with it. It shakes me to my core, the reality of it, the validity of it, and that this is a big deal. And so that's the person that knows who I am, the person that understands, and the person who's humble, who has a contrite heart, like, wow. And so this is my muttering, is to humble myself, to go after this, and I get off track, and I have to come back, go after this thing. And so interesting, I run into 1 Peter yesterday as I was just looking and someone called me, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to get saved again. I've got a bunch of, you know, times I made it and I need to get back. I need to get my heart right. I need to get calmed down. I need to get where I have peace again and get God back in control. So halfway through this verse 5, and we're going to go through 11, it says, God resists you when you are proud, but he multiplies grace and favor when you are humble. And actually the word is to the younger men, like to submit themselves to their leaders, to their elders, like because he resists the proud. And the most temptation, though I'm still having troubles at 65, but it's I got all the answers. And boy, I got dumber as I got older. Like, I thought I knew everything when I was very young. And then you start learning, oh, I don't know quite as much as I think I know. I'm not quite as good at this as I think I am. I'm not, like, you learn, you in time you come to that. And he's like, God resists you when you're proud, but multiplies grace and favor when you are humble. And so this is an act of humility to submit to this state order, to impose it on the whole church, though it's killing me. And it goes on, if you bow low in God's awesome presence, he will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in his hands. Isn't that half the battle, the timing? We want it now. It's like, in time, everything will come around. In time, I will vindicate you. In time, I will show my hand. Pour out in verse 7 all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there. That's the hard part. For he already tenderly cares for you. So pour the stress out to him. Give it to him. This is actually, we should have, we have seminars on all kinds of things, and we need to have a seminar on how to cast your burdens on the Lord. Is anybody good at it? It's a struggle. When you get the real cares and the real stuff, and it's overflowing in your heart, and you're carrying this, and your countenance changes, and your shoulders are slumped, and you feel weary, tired all the time, you're stressed out, it's hard to get that thing off of you. And the exhortation to humble yourself, you're like, no, I need to blow something up. You know, I need to retaliate. I need to get bigger. It's like, no, you need down low. Be well balanced in verse 8 and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly without quitting, like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith, for you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of troubles you are. And then after your brief suffering, and the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Yes, so this is the upside down world of the kingdom. You want to get up? Get low. You want to be exalted? Get down on your knees. You want to accomplish great things? Get small and secret and private. Like, get small. Yes, he will set you firmly in a place and build you up, and he has all the power needed to do this forever. Amen. Who's going to argue with that? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is the verse that kept coming to me, remembering this as I was struggling, that Paul gives this exhortation to the believers in chapter 10 of Hebrews. That they suffered even having their properties seized. Now, that's worse than bouncing a check. That's worse than having to wear a mask. That's bad. What you work for, what is rightfully yours, is seized for some trumped up reason, like governments that go bad, they do these things. Our government has done these things. When corrupt people are in power, they do bad things. It's really, talk about a scream of injustice in your heart. How do you deal with that? How do you get over that? Here's Paul encouraging them, especially if it's because of their faith. I want you to be okay with this. Like, let it go. So he begins, and I'm going to start here in verse 32. Don't you remember those days right after the light shined in your hearts? You endured a great marathon season of suffering hardships, yet you stood your ground, and at times you were publicly and shamefully mistreated. Can we get past that point? If you get stuck there, again, I said, my little grandson, it's our favorite saying, I stuck. I'll find him with his finger in something he can't get out of, or, you know, it's just hilarious. It's comical. And he goes, I stuck. So now Phyllis and I say, I stuck. And you're stuck on something relational, like, I stuck. Like, we know what we're talking about. Like, oh, that's bad. That's bad to be stuck. And when the offense comes, when the mistreatment comes, when something's taken from you that doesn't feel right, like, it's, can we get past that? If you can't, boom, you're out. Like, that's a problem. That's the thing you're stuck on. If you can't get past the mistreatment, and we'll call a friend. Hey, this is what happened to me. Don't you agree? It's horrible. Like, well, yeah, every good friend's like, oh yeah, that's bad. I'd divorce him. I'd leave him. I'd sue. I'd this. I thought, you know, we're like jump on the boat. What good old friend wouldn't do that, huh? And yet there's a call for us. That's fine. Have a reaction. Have a moment. But get back on track. You got to be okay with the mistreatments. This is a hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. And the things you feel are unjust when they're wrong. Like, I don't even believe in this. Like, geez, how do I do this? You endured a great marathon season of suffering hardships, yet you stood your ground, and at times you were publicly, shamefully mistreated, being persecuted for your faith. Then at others times, you stood side by side with those who preached the message of hope. They remembered him in his imprisonment. You sympathized with those in prison, and when all your belongings were confiscated, you accepted that violation with joy. Church. This isn't, wow. I mean, can you go, oh, I'm good, I can do that. I mean, I'm not sure that we can project that we would do it. It's kind of like one of those things where you're in the emergency, you're like, oh, I don't know what I'd do in that situation. In the emergency, we'll find out what you're really made of, and you don't even know right now till the real test happens, till the real trial happens. Then we get to find out what we're made of in front of God and everybody. Oh, boy. And folks, this is like, I'm so aware of this. And then you have a situation that challenges you on it. And this is just little. I've had none of my property confiscated, none of the things that I worked hard for, none of the people that matter to me. Like, not, I've had nothing. No one that's as personal, close to me has been thrown in prison, that I have to write to them in prison because they became a Christian. No one was beheaded. I don't have a father, son, daughter, brother that got shot because they confessed Christ. I just have to wear a mask. You go, oh boy, I'm not looking good in the Hall of Fame. Who dat? Oh, he had to wear a mask, you know. Like, well, what are you gonna do? You know? Like, what do you get for that? So, thank you, Kathy, for laughing. Convinced that, but here needs to be the reason. Convinced that you possess a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. That's why we can do this, because there's a treasure in heaven. You can't get this. You can't steal this. You can't rob this from me, because it's locked in heaven. It's gold that's there. You can't steal it, rob it, devalue it. You can't take what I have in heaven. And this is one of the problems of the American church. We don't have our eyes on heaven enough. We are too, we're so, all we see is the material. All we see is the success and the prosperity, which I love those things. It's great. I want to be in health and prosper. Absolutely. I want all of you to. We even have a promise to, but we've got to have this other thing. And these kind of situations and days, and whatever's ahead and whatever's coming and whatever's not coming, but it's just like, it brings you to this place. You go, get your priorities right, or you're going to get, it's going to eat your lunch. Convinced that you possess a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you, so don't lose your bold, courageous faith. Don't you dare lose it. Stay strong, stay vigilant, stay on fire, stay focused, get your priorities right, work hard at this so that you fight on the right mountain. Some things are not worth dying on. Some causes aren't worth dying on. There are others that are. You need to identify, what am I willing to die for? What mountain am I willing to die for? What land and ground am I willing to die for? So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. Again, this isn't martyrdom without hope. There's a great reward attached to this. There's nothing that we can give up in this life. There's no amount of our pride that we can die to in this life that the Lord doesn't have a recompense that far outweighs it, a glory that makes it just disappear. And there's some pretty horrendous things that you can experience in this life. You need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will, and then you receive the promise in full. For soon and very soon, a lot of you are too young, but Andre Crouch, remember his song? Soon and very soon, we all gonna see the King. Da, 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 da. Yeah. One who is appearing will come without delay. And whatever my concept of end times is, this I've not removed, that he is come, he will appear. There is an appearing. There is a coming. And at that moment, I want to be looking up, not down. I want to be ready, not unready. I want to be in the place where I go, hey, look who's here, you know, instead of, oh my gosh, dad's home, you know, we better clean up the house. Mom's coming. We better fix up the mess, make the mess, fix the mess, do this, do that. Like, doesn't matter when they're not coming, but all of a sudden, someone's coming home. King is coming. I want to not be surprised by that. And one more verse that he also says, my righteous ones will live from my faith. But if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. But we are certainly not those. We are certainly not those who shrink back, who have not developed our faith, made our choices to believe with all of our heart, to go after everything, to believe in his provision, to believe in the words and the songs that we sing. Like, take it to another level. It's not good enough that we sing it well. It requires us to believe what we're singing, to believe what we're declaring, to believe what we say we're all about. But we are certainly not those who are held back by fear and perish. We are among those who have faith and experience true life. Now, is that the truth or what? We are those who experience true life. In our struggles, in our crashing, burning, and making a fool of ourselves some days, in all of that stuff, we get back up and we are those. We are certainly not those, but we are these who are held back by who are held back by fear and perish. We are not of those. We are among those who have faith and experience true life. Psalms 34. I'm going to close off early, so your suffering is minimal. Psalms 34. Oh my gosh. And as Phyllis and I went on our trip Tuesday, it was actually good. We just had time, just riding in the car, and we just needed just time to just talk, and take time together. And I told her, you know, she brought her Bible. I said, turn to Psalms 34. Let's just talk about this. And so she would read a verse, and we'd stop and talk about a verse. And she'd read another verse, and we'd stop and talk about a verse, and just encourage each other. And just, it was really good. It's something we should do a whole lot more than what we do. And it gets to verse 5, and it says, gaze upon him. Of course, this is my Passion Translation. Join your life with him, and joy will come. Your faces will glisten with glory. You'll never wear that shame face again, which was ammunition. As soon as later, when I forgot about this, and was talking or saying something, she's like, hey, get rid of that shame face. Get that shame face off you. You know, like, I don't know, it's back again. Like, we don't have to wear the shame face. We don't have to wear the cone of shame. Like, the physical, like, whatever. One thing is nothing to you. One thing is, like, the end of the world for you. Like, it's like the same thing. Like, it's just, we all have our stuff. It depends on how we look at it, how we view it, what we, so it doesn't even matter what is bad for you, hard for you, and not for me. Like, it's just, we all have our thing. And we all have this thing that we struggle with that causes shame. And if you don't deal with your shame face in the right way, you'll spend a lot of money you shouldn't spend. You'll make bad decisions. When you got your shame face on, you're trying to get rid of it, you'll make all kinds of dumb decisions. I mean, big decisions. And we live in a culture that's full of people that have made big mistakes. And the call of the Lord to work on our hearts and get this right and go after this is because in the end, it saves your skin. Like, it makes life better if you wait on him. Do without that for a while. It was in our songs today. Wait, I wait on you. I wait on you. It's not a little thing. It's a big thing. And it's not a boring thing. It's an activity. Waiting on the Lord is renewing your heart and muttering prayers and keeping that going and fellowshipping with him. I love some of my mundane tasks, mowing the grass or doing some of those things with the Lord. Like, I love those kind of tasks. How often for you, well, no one has a sink with dishes in it anymore. It's all automated. But, you know, like, be careful with all of our automation. Sometimes it takes away the normal, and that's where it's good therapy. You're doing something with your hands. Like, don't you love to be doing something with your hands? So you can think through, like, some time alone. Maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's something at house. Maybe it's knitting. Maybe it's, like, whatever. Like, something that where you just can think and process. We need that. We need that. And guess what we're getting robbed of in our culture? And our iPhones have not done us any favors with this, our phones, because we're in them and it's distracting. It kind of takes over. It's like watching TV. Do you understand when the TV was first? I actually have this on a sheet of paper. What was the name of this? There's a patent number for it. And it was a manipulation-like device. The word manipulation is in it. The guy that created the TV monitor. And so now we practice on a regular basis sitting in front of the TV, and what do? You zone out. How many of you know that at least have recognized most of the time when you're watching TV, it's not fruitful. You don't feel edified unless you're watching a show that truly is edifying. But a lot of it is just like, I just don't want to think. You zone out, but it's not fruitful. I would encourage, go for a walk. go do something else where you truly can think and interact with the Lord. Because a lot of the things that we're doing, they just turn on the distraction. The sound machine, the thing, it's like, oh, I don't want to think anymore. Be careful with that. Like, process things and get to the place where you do things that bring you to a good place with the Lord. You get rid of, gaze upon him, join your life with him. Joy will come. And this isn't based on circumstances. It's not based on with pandemic, without pandemic. It's not based on with money, not money. It's not based on I'm married, I'm not married. It's funny how we all come to these things where, well, I'm not gonna be happy until this happens in my life. I know none of you have ever done that, but I'm just saying, beware that you don't put something on this situation like, well, I'm not gonna be happy until this changes. In whatsoever state you find yourself, we get to find joy in that. You have to find peace in that. If you interact with Jesus in it, you'll find it. If you do not, you'll be bitter, angry, frustrated, and stuck. I stuck is only cute for a moment. Then it gets to be something else. So we want to come to this place where we humble ourselves and we watch over our hearts with all diligence, and we believe in this to the extent we know the treasures that we have in heaven. We know what we have. So let's pray and close today. Father, I just ask in Jesus' name for your grace to be on us and for wisdom to be on us, and especially supernatural protection for our people and for all people. I ask that you will open up doors. People are hungry for someone to reach out to them and connect with them and care about them. And so, Father, help us to just really look for that, make use of the opportunity. So everyone, we're in this together, and it actually creates common ground. We need each other. Our culture is dying. Though the real threat is the social distancing of relationship that's happened. We already had an epidemic of it, and now it's getting worse. I ask that you would use us to just break the power of suicide over people that are isolated and separated. I just ask that you give us wisdom, open up doors that we get to go into places that there's just opportunity for us to open up and just care about them. Just care. And let them just see and feel Jesus in us. Give us opportunities to pray for people. What a blessing that someone says, "Can I pray for you? Can I just minister to that?" Let's give that to Jesus. Father, I just ask you, open up the prophetic word in us that we'll have supernatural discernment as we pay attention. We have to work a little bit harder to get past the mass. But with that intention, I ask that you will open up even more doors and let us use this situation for the good. Bring hope and life and peace as we carry the true confidence that we are not afraid. Peace, the love, the joy of our Savior. We just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.